Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Throwback Thursday going back to 2001. This is Drive by Incubus. You know, kind of appropriate. We're doing the Indy 500. We're also Throwback Thursday today. Helio Castroneves winning the Indy 500 back in 2001. And that's what we've got coming up this weekend. It's the 105th running at the Brickyard. Nathan Brown joins us. Indy Star Sports and also USA Today to give us a little preview of the race. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Nathan on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, Scott Dixon starting from pole position. It's an unusual spot for him, but he's got two young guys next to him on row one. What's the feeling about the youth that are coming into the Indy 500?
It's been really invigorating this year. We've had five different winners in five races so far this year, and four of those winners have been guys 24 years or younger. Three of them are first-time winners, and one of those guys is Rinus Vike, who is starting on the outside of row one. We have Colton Herta there in the middle, who won his, I believe, his fourth IndyCar race of his career, starting second and nearly took Scott Dixon's fourth Indy 500 pole away from him last Sunday. So you've got a couple of guys like that who could absolutely win this race, which would be their first 500, and then another young driver in Alex Polo, who's 24, who starts in the top nine, and I think just one row back, Pato O'Ward, who just turns 22, who's certainly threatening to win a 500 probably as well after winning Rookie of the Year last year with a top 10 finish. So it's a really exciting group. It's seeming like it might come down to kind of a veteran drivers versus young up-and-coming stars type feel on Sunday, and I think that could make for a really cool show.
Where is the Indianapolis 500 in terms of its prestige? We were talking today. I remember it growing up in the 80s was on ABC, and most of the drivers were household names. It lost a little bit of its luster in the 90s with the CART IRL split, but has it regained a lot of what it used to be from back in the day?
I think it's regained a good amount. Time will tell if it ever truly regains that level of prestige. This series, for better or worse, does not have nearly the level of name recognition from its top stars just in the general sports landscape as it did. I mean, back in 92, you had guys like AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti, who were just winding down their careers but were still alive. Both of those guys started on the front row in 1991, along with Rick Mears. You had guys like Mears and Michael Andretti and Bobby Rahal, who were maybe just, you know, either hitting their prime, as you know, with in terms of Andretti and or coming close or, you know, still hitting pretty hard with Rick and Bobby. So it was just a field full of stars and guys that you knew. I mean, a guy like Nigel Mansell came over after winning a Formula One championship and decided he wanted to run IndyCar instead in the early 90s and came over and was super successful almost instantly. I don't think you're ever going to see something like that, certainly not at least in the next decade, but IndyCar is doing what it can to kind of rebuild, and I think in some way, you know, if they can do a great job of marketing these young drivers as best they can, maybe that is maybe their next best chance to try and regain that. I don't know that you're ever going to see someone like Scott Dixon or Will Power or Ed Carpenter or Ryan Hunter-Reay be any bigger of a name than they already are, because they've already achieved so much, and you just kind of have to live with where you're seen in the general sports world when you're 40 years old or so and probably winding down your career in the next 5 years or so.
Mario Andretti thinks Colton Herta could be a Formula One star, an American on the grid over there, but can there be a point where he becomes a bigger star here just driving in the IndyCar series?
I think, it's tough to tell. I mean, if he were to go over and achieve in Formula One with a top level ride, say it's a Mercedes or a Red Bull level ride, a ride that can really truly position him to challenge for a Formula One title and for race wins week in and week out. There's, you know, at this point in motorsports, there is no greater place to reach peak level name recognition than in Formula One. Can he be a bigger star without having the like absolute best car in the series? And can he, you know, no matter where he is, win week in and week out in any car? Absolutely. I think that's the difference. And he's, I mean, he's even said it himself, and I think it makes a lot of sense that the guys that we see racing in Formula One nowadays really have to both be brought up in that feeder system over there in Europe and also stay there. He was in that for a period of his life in his early to mid-teens, but decided to break away, come back to the United States, and hop into the Road to Indy series. He challenged really close on an Indy Lights title, and now is someone, you know, in his third full season in IndyCar that could seriously challenge for a championship this year. And it's just hard. I think it would be hard for him to jump back over into Formula One because the guys that are in line for those seats, I mean, Red Bull, for example, has almost like a B team of guys that, you know, if their second driver were to leave, they can slide someone right in next to Max Verstappen. Mercedes has a similar thing with Williams, and it's really hard to break into those seats and also bring the type of sponsorship money that one of those seats would require. And other than that, there's just not really a reason for him to go and run with a Alpine, which used to be Renault or Haas or Williams or Aston Martin or anyone like that. That's going to be, you know, mid-pack at best on a good day. Because he has chances to win races and win championships here. It might not be on the world's biggest stage, but it's the closest thing.
The one person that is not on the grid, and that's Romain Grosjean, former Formula One driver who was in that horrific crash in Bahrain. And one of the reasons he said was he doesn't want to put his family through that. It seems like he is implying that the Indy 500 and Super Speedway Indy racing is still a dangerous thing he would not like to pursue. What did people make of that comment and his decision not to race in one of the biggest races in the world?
Yeah, it's certainly been met with some criticism, and I think from some fans, though, I think what his decision really came down to, it wasn't necessarily that he doesn't want to compete in it. I think it comes down to he feels like the danger level in a super speedway race like the Indy 500, you're starting to put your own life and your own safety in the hands of other people when you're driving inches away from them going 220-odd miles an hour, going through a turn, and you just don't experience those same risks on a road course or a street course. You know, any crash that you would end up in would much more likely either be your fault or potentially be the fault of someone else, but not experience nearly the high level risk that you would if you got into a major incident in an oval race. And after putting his wife and kids through what they suffered through for nearly 3 minutes, in that crash in Bahrain in November, thinking that he almost certainly had perished in that crash, I think at this point just doesn't want to put them through that. I just don't know that he thinks it's worth the risk. There's certainly a chance that that could change, but at this point I think he's really comfortable getting used to running road and street courses, which is certainly what he's used to. And as we saw in the GMR Grand Prix a couple weeks ago, something that he can certainly excel at right away, even three races into his IndyCar career.
In the Indy 500, for those who kind of have tuned in the past but don't know much about how the race will run, can you win this race from the back of the pack? Can a Simon Pagenaud starting 26th or a Will Power 32nd or Joseph Newgarden, who we love here in Tennessee where I live, 21st, can they be competitive in this race without just the same old kind of pit stop strategy? Can a car go from the back to the front of the field just on racing alone?
I don't think so with this model of car that they have right now. We saw in the, you know, early on in the, you know, the 2010, 11, 12, 13 era that cars were just a little bit better aerodynamically set up for super speedway and oval racing. It was also a time where you would see cars in those races tend to run in packs, which ultimately drivers felt like was pretty dangerous. And they've made some changes to the car just to make it increasingly more difficult, A, to run in packs. So you tend to see these types of races get strung out a little bit. I think they've made some changes to the aerodynamics of the car to make it a little bit easier to follow guys more closely and therefore make it a little bit easier to pass. But I think almost certainly you're probably going to see your winner come from somewhere in the top 10, maybe the top 12 at the very farthest back. The last 4 years, we've seen the race winner from the top four starting positions in the field. I think we could certainly have that this year, but it just seems like something really catastrophic in terms of a major, major accident that could take out, you know, a handful of those top drivers or a series of, of a lot of cautions that could, like, kind of scramble the field depending on when you pitted. I think that's really the only way someone in the 20s range could work their way up. It's not impossible, but we'd have to have a pretty unique Indy 500 to be able to do that.
Nathan Brown joins us, IndyStar USA Today, on the Indianapolis 500, the 105th running coming up on Sunday. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for your insight onto the race.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And is coming up, coming to you from the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up those final thoughts. A couple of thoughts from that interview coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.